Is a victory in Jesus. By the way, there is victory over every obstacle that we've covered. Victory over fear, temptation, stress, culture, adversity, the world, scoffers, turmoil, and yes, injustice as well. I left you with a memory verse last week, and so let's go to that memory verse that I left you with. It was Matthew 6:12. We're going to do just a quick review and then get into some questions. Matthew 6:12, we talked about the key in dealing with injustices is to make sure that you and I are able to forgive other people. Because if we don't forgive other people, then God is not obligated to forgive us when we do an injustice towards somebody else. By the way, are all of us going to be guilty of doing an injustice to someone else in some shape, fashion, or form? Yes, we are. We are. And so we know that we want to be forgiven of our injustices. Let's quote Matthew 6:12. That's our memory verse from last week. And this was the thought I left you with. And we'll say the reference and then the verse and then the reference. Here we go. Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Matthew 6:12. Father, help us this morning as we look and investigate more about injustice, what it is, what it does, and Lord, how we can get the victory over it. What a blessing it is to have a God that gives us victory over every obstacle we could come across. Bless now into this morning's lesson that you may get all praise, honor, and glory. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. Victory over injustice. We talked about some things. We gave the definition for injustice. It is unfair treatment, an unjust act, an absence of justice, unfairness, violation of rights or of the rights of another. It's a situation in which the right of a person or group of people are ignored. And we are all going to go through that. But then we have to ask this question. We said, if that's injustice, what is justice? And is the process a result of using laws to fairly judge and punish crimes and criminals? And who can remember what I said about that statement last week? It is the process a result of using laws to fairly judge and punish crimes and criminals. You might remember what I said about that, about laws. Are our laws increasingly changing to fit society? Yes. So then it could well be possible that it would not be an injustice if you and I call homosexuality a sin. And so when it comes to injustice, our law has got to be the law of God. It cannot be man's law because man's laws are continuing to change to adapt and adjust to society. It's got to be the law of God. And so the injustice that is done will have to be biblical. And the world does not have that view. It does not have that view. But you and I have to have that to have victory over injustice. And so that's what justice is, the quality of being just, impartial, or fair, fairness, and impartial. By the way, is God a fair God?
Yes, he is.
He is. Sometimes we may not think he is, but he is.
Yes, sir,
Pastor. Amen. So we looked at that. And we talked about this. We must base our injustice on the law of God. We're looking at some injustice in light of being saved. We must go through the scriptures and see people that have had injustices to them and know that life in and of itself is not fair.
That's right, Pastor. It isn't.
How many of y'all think life is going to be fair? You know, by the way, when I got saved, you know what? I thought it was going to be a smooth road.
Same here, Pastor.
I got saved and I thought my problems are over. Everybody's going to love me. Everybody's going to be kind to me. I'm going to go out into the world, love more, love more. Everybody loves a Christian. And I found just the opposite.
Here you go, Pastor.
People hated a Christian. Because I had this book and this book begins to divide and it begins to poke and it begins to prod. And people don't like that. The Muslim guy we talked to yesterday, he didn't like it. But guess what? We did it anyway. Amen. Because that's what the Word of God does. And by the way, he made a statement to Pastor White and myself. He said this. He said, why do you keep going back to that book? And I said, because that's where the power is at. Why are you so afraid of that book? Well, it's corrupted. Well, if it's corrupted, more reason why you shouldn't be afraid of it.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
And he got mad. He actually got so mad that he called Pastor White last night and apologized for his attitude.
Good.
And good. Wants to meet again, but he didn't want me to be there next time.
Amen.
he wants to meet with Pastor White. I tried to beat up on him. Amen. But praise God, the injustices are going to be there. Look in your book there at the overview. It says we're going to experience unfair circumstances in our lives. Injustice is written throughout history. It's not only cultural and historical, but it's frequently very personal. That means it happens to you and it happens to me. The question is not whether we will face injustice, but rather how we will respond when we do face it. And that really is the question. When an injustice happens to you, how are you going to handle it? When somebody takes your parking spot, how are you going to handle it? When someone is sitting in your seat, how are you going to handle it? We were at the game last night and we were sitting in someone else's seat. Mm-hmm. And were we sitting in your seats, Tamara, or they were sitting in our seats? Those two folks at the end, we had those seats?
We were sitting in their seats.
Okay, so they had to handle that injustice. We were sitting in their seats and I thought we were right. I'm like, no, we were supposed to be right here. And then they pull out tickets like, okay, we're supposed to be right here.
Here we go.
Stand corrected. Amen.
But
that is small, but it's an injustice. You stand in line and, people start cutting in front of you. You're at a football game. The line's already long as it is. And then, Joe Blow slides in front of someone else. And then Sister Joe or Sister Janet slides in, and you're thinking, hey, no, wait a minute. I've been standing in line for 15 minutes. That's an injustice. What's a Christian to do? Do you go and beat them up? You go take their popcorn? No, you talk about them like I did. No, I'm just joking. Amen. Some things are not worth fighting over.
That's right, Pastor.
But then some things are worth standing for. Some things are worth fighting. Some things are worth fighting for, others are not. We looked at some things here. Properly responding, it says, to injustice allows us to take advantage of opportunities God brings into our lives to reach others with the gospel. We looked at the European Crusades, how millions of Muslims were murdered by the Roman Catholic Church. That's an injustice.
Yep.
Then we looked at the other side. The Ottoman Turkish Empire killed millions of non-Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Then we looked at our own country, how we had so many in slavery, like in Onesimus and Philemon, the book of Philemon. Many in slavery, taken from their homelands in Africa and many other lands and enslaved. And then we said this, did not Israel do the same thing? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw 6 million Jews killed in the Holocaust from Adolf Hitler.
Yep.
And some Jews still have a problem with that. They have not forgiven. And you know who they have not forgiven most of all? God, because God let it happen. How could you let a monster like Adolf Hitler do such an injustice to us? We're God's people. And many Jews are mad at God. Am I right, sir? We had one that was here. He could not understand how God could let that happen. So I got a problem with you, God. We saw Joseph Stalin was responsible for deaths of 70 million people during his tyrannical reign over the Soviet Union. Some of these injustices from, Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, and Turks and Catholics, some of that has been passed down to those children that never experienced it, but they have taken on the burden of their parents, and they've given it to their children and their children. And so then we have injustices culturally across our nation when others come in. How many of us would agree that oftentimes if we see someone of Arab descent, we're skittish? Because of the injustices that the Arab nations and Muslim nations have done to America. And we're kind of like, I don't know, Katie, I got a turban on my head. I'm going to sit next to you on the plane. I'm of Arab descent. I'm going to sit next to you. Are you going to feel pretty easy about that? Oftentimes not. We're kind of like nothing's happened yet. Amen. If we're honest and we're going to pick the seats out, we try to go away from that Arab. He might have a bomb.
Pastor.
Now, is that fair? No, it's not fair.
No, it's not fair.
But because of the injustices that have happened, we have inherited that phobia, if you will.
Yeah.
And now we are just as guilty as they.
Mm-hmm.
And so victory over injustice is possible. Let me give you the blanks to fill in, and then we're going to talk about these things here this morning. Number one, the reality of injustice. The reality of injustice. Then A, Onesimus was considered an unprofitable servant. He is the subject of our discussion. Onesimus was considered an unprofitable servant. Then B, Onesimus was saved but still suffering. Onesimus was saved but still suffering. And so we're going to look at those topics today. Hopefully we can get just a tad further. But when you look at injustice, I read this last week. I don't want to read it again because this is where we stopped at. Injustice is not only cultural and historical. It is frequently very personal. Situations come into all of our lives that are simply unfair.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What can injustice be based on? If someone wants to be unjust towards me, what can it be based on, or what could it be based on for you? Serge?
Prejudice.
What might that prejudice be directed at? Ignorance, yes. But what else? What could that prejudice be directed at? We just talked about the phobia of an Arab. What is that? What is that?
Fear.
Fear of what? Their religious beliefs and what their religious beliefs can do. So an injustice can be religiously based. By the way, you can go into your job as a Christian and someone could have a problem with other Christians. And guess who gets to blame? You do. And you've done nothing at all. And so some injustices can be because of religious beliefs. What other injustices can be caused? Or I should say, what other things can cause a injustice to be done toward us? How about the color of your skin?
Yeah, that's right, Pastor.
Not long ago in our nation alone, because of the color of your skin, you could or could not go certain places.
Right.
What about your gender?
Yeah.
Not long ago in our nation, if you were female, you could not vote. If you were black, you could not vote. Not long ago. So gender could have a play in injustice. Race could have a play in injustice. What else could have a play in injustice in our lives? Tamara? Unresolved past experiences or misplaced aggression. If I'm bald and tattooed and I mug you, and then another bald person comes close to you that's got tattoos, what are you going to tend to do? Slide away from them.
Slide away, yeah.
Because they're bald and have tattoos, they may mug me too.
Mm-hmm.
My father-in-law, he's got an issue with female drivers.
Mm.
I mean, I don't care who in front of them does something wrong. He says it must be a woman driver.
Yeah.
I mean, it must be a woman. You know, you look at her, it's a man. We drive like a woman. You know. Got Diana. Other person's insecurity or their vulnerabilities, yes, can be a cause of injustice. So I'm going to take it because I'm vulnerable or I'm insecure. I'm going to take it out on you.
Mm-hmm.
What else can cause an injustice to happen? Disabilities can happen because, you know, I'm disabled and I can't do this, that or the other. People are going to treat me differently. Okay, praise God, our nation is making great strides against that. I've got a couple others. Maybe your name or your family name.
Yes, sir.
I went to school with a family called the Creoles, and they were notoriously mean. The whole family was just mean. And because of the family name, they had that stigma attached to them. Well, they had a son in the family that was the same age as I was. And so what do you think I thought about him? He was mean. He was just the opposite. He was not mean. He was the nicest one in the family. I don't know if that was by comparison because of how mean they were. Amen. But he was the nicest guy. So when I met him all the night, I thought, oh, here we go. He's going to talk names about me and be mean to me. And he was just the nicest guy. And I thought, what family were you raised in? I'm obviously not that family. And so I could have been treating him in a way that's going to be an injustice to him based on his family name. How about this? What about your weight? Weight can be an injustice. Hollywood is big on that.
Oh, yes,
I mean,
are.
If you have some issues with your weight, they're going to poke fun at you and this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. Weight. How about your looks?
Yep.
You know, back in the days, bald people were depicted as mean.
Wow.
When I shaved my head, when my hair fell out when I was in college and came back, everybody said, oh, you're just trying to shave your head to look mean. No, I shaved my head because my hair fell out. But they thought automatically I was trying to be mean and menacing looking. Charles Barkley. No, not at all. So we've got race, we've got religion, color, skin, your looks, your weight. How about this? Your education or lack thereof.
Yep, that's right, Pastor.
Can be an injustice. The school you went to, people can brand you because of that. There's so many things in life that an injustice can spring up from. The reality of injustice is here. Go to Philemon. Philemon. And you and I have to be aware that these and many more things can be the cause of an injustice. And what's the call? What's the victory? Well, Paul gives it down there in verse number 17. I'm sorry, not 17, verse 18. Paul said, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. In other words, he said, you know what? Onesimus ran away and he was unprofitable. He did some things to you. And so I want you to put that on my account. By the way, our sin, our injustices were put on whose account? Jesus. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Now, that being said, do you and I have the right to be to treat someone else with injustice? No. But it's going to happen.
Yes, sir, it is.
Whether it's to our children, whether it's to our spouse, whether it's to our relatives, whether it's to our coworkers, whether it's to our boss, whether it's to our subordinates, whether it's to our neighbors, we're going to do that knowingly sometimes and unknowingly other times. But I want to pose a question to you because we've got this story here about Philemon and Onesimus. Notice verse number 10. He says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I begot in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. He says, he was no good to you before. He was no use to you. He said, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. And but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Onesimus was a runaway slave.
Yes, he was.
And as a runaway slave, first of all, we see the injustice throughout the relationship in this book of Philemon. It was not fair for Onesimus to be a slave, first of all.
That's right.
But it was also not fair for Philemon to have a slave run away and take money and possessions because it was the law. But it was also not fair for Paul to be in jail for preaching the gospel.
That's right, Pastor.
And it was also not fair for Paul to have to assume a debt that he never had. Each of these men had the opportunity to seek into resentment and bitterness because of what happened to them. Onesimus for being a slave, Philemon for having a slave run away, Paul for preaching the gospel and being in jail. But the circumstances of God allowed it all to come together for Paul to be in prison, for Onesimus to be there to get saved, and for him to know Philemon, to go back there and to be a minister in the gospel. Praise God, Romans 8:28 is good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But let me pose a puzzling question. Philemon and Onesimus, the story is all about a slave. In the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, you won't find God or Jesus condemning slavery. Did you realize that? God never condemns slavery. He does regulate it. But he never condemns it. Isn't that odd? That he never condemns slavery, but he regulates it? Why do you think that is true? I mean, he tells the Israelites, hey, if you go into captivity, you catch a nation, and you put them as servants and slaves, this is how you treat them. He never said, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Don't you find that odd? That God would not condemn slavery? Give me some feedback on that. Why is, what's up with that? I got some thoughts and I'm going to share with you this morning. But why not just out and out condemn it? Why not out and out condemn slavery? If it's wrong. Do we believe it's wrong? We believe it's wrong.
Yes, it is.
But God regulates it. Yes, Ms. Dawson. Part of their culture, for them it was right.
So it depends on, you know, I mean, the principles of the Word of God, you know, kind of knocks it out depending, you know, on the motives and all those different things.
Mm-hmm. So Ms. Dawson said it was the culture. Speaking of the culture, in the Old Testament, was it permissible to have multiple wives? Yes.
Yes, it was.
Did God out and out condemn it? Now, he didn't really out and out condemn it. The Bible regulates it. Now, I don't know about you. One is enough for me. Mm-hmm. Sam, you want seven wives? Eight, ten? You got seven, eight wives. You got, you know, 70, 80 kids. Sam says, no.
Man, the
ones that I have are enough. Amen. Yeah. How about it, Carl? 60 wives? Like Solomon? No. But you don't find God saying, thou shalt have only one wife. Now, the New Testament, they begin to regulate that and say the pastor should be the husband of one wife and the deacons be the husband of one wife and things of that nature. But in the Old Testament, you don't find God don't have those concubines. But they regulate it. Interesting, much like slavery. Maybe, here's a thought, maybe men have a sin nature and will do it anyway.
Yes, sir.
And so regulate it. Because multiple wives also was an issue, but not outlawed in the Old Testament, right. Just regulated. Why did God not outlaw slavery? Because now people have that justification. Well, God allowed Israel to do it. He allowed these. And so we can do it in America. So we can enslave these people and do this. Are people still in slavery? Yes.
Yes, they are, Pastor.
You got child pornography, slavery, and so many other types of slavery out there. Here's a thought that I want to give you today based upon the lesson with Onesimus and Philemon. Why didn't God outlaw slavery? Why did he not outlaw the multiple wives? How about this? God did not come to change law, to change laws, but to save and change lives. Why change a law if you're not going to change a life? It's not going to do any good. I'll be right back to Israel. I've got an outward law, but no inward change and no inward love. He didn't come to change laws, but to save and change lives. Then we can make a difference like Paul did. Paul's life was changed. And so Paul was able to make a difference in Philemon's life, who had slaves. Onesimus ran away. Paul was able to make a difference in Onesimus's life. So now Onesimus could go back and be profitable now. And so I don't need to change the law on slavery. I need to change the heart of men.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Never been a problem with the laws. It's always been a problem with men's hearts. Amen. Because if my heart's wrong, I'm going to do the wrong thing anyway. Did prohibition stop alcohol? No.
No.
Do our laws on drugs stop drug traffickers?
No.
No. Because in the heart, people still want to do it. And if I want to do it, I'm going to do it.
That's right, Pastor.
I'm going to find who's doing it.
That's right.
So changing laws is not going to help anything. Now, it will regulate it, as we say.
Mm-hmm.
Just like God did with slavery. It'll regulate it like it does with wives. But at the heart of the issue, it's still a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at this, I believe that changed lives can change laws.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
If I'm a supreme justice and I'm born again, guess what? I can change laws because my life is changed. If I'm a judge, if I'm a governor, if I'm a president, if I'm someone that has the capacity to change laws because God has changed my life, I can change laws. That's why we have the ability to vote for certain Supreme Court justices and things
Amen.
Like that. What am I saying here? City council members and the chief of police, he needs to be saved.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Amen.
The chief of police, Chris Magnus. How many of y'all are praying for him? Pray for him. Chris Magnus, our chief of police in Tucson, is the only openly gay male married to another male, chief of police in our nation. And he resides here in Tucson. Pray for Chris Magnus. If you don't know his name, pray for the chief of police of Tucson.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
He needs to be saved.
He does, Pastor.
Now, are the laws going to make a difference? The laws don't make a difference. He's going to do what he's going to do. The laws already say it's okay. But his heart needs to be changed. He needs to be saved. And God can change him. And then he, as a law upholder, can make a difference.
Yes, sir, he can.
And so you and I have the capability to be a Paul.
Amen.
And help get someone's life changed and send that Onesimus back to that Philemon.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the laws. It's about the lives. Romans 8, 28. Let's go over there real quick. And so, preacher, what's the real answer on the slavery? I really don't know. I don't know why God didn't out and condemn it, but I do this. I know this. God didn't come to change our laws. He came to change our lives.
Amen.
Romans 8, 28. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did what? Predestinate to be what? Conform to the image of his son. Did Jesus Christ come and outlaw slavery and multiple lives? No. He came to change men's lives. And when we get saved, we have the capability to give people that same gospel that can change their lives and be conformed to his son, who can go back into society and then change laws, make a difference that way. Because it's about changed lives. Changed laws never change anybody's life. Conform to the image of his son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them all he also called, and whom he called, that he also justified, and whom he justified, then he also glorified. Praise God. God is good. So when you look at this story of Philemon and Onesimus, I believe the ultimate thing that you and I can learn is that you and I are not so concerned about the laws as we should be with the lives of people.
Right.
Onesimus obviously was unprofitable.
Mm-hmm.
He ran away. He took some things from Philemon. But he met someone named Jesus that could change his life when he was introduced to Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's profitable. So the reality of injustice, folks, is not fair for Onesimus to be a slave. It wasn't fair for Philemon to have a slave run away. It wasn't fair for Paul to be in jail. It wasn't fair for Paul to have this debt paid. But God worked it out for good, according to Romans 8, 28, so that Onesimus could go right back there. And by the way, you find Onesimus in several places in the New Testament being useful when he was unprofitable. Notice, A, Onesimus was considered an unprofitable servant. Notice what Paul says about him back in Philemon. Let's go back over there. By the way, would you say you were ever unprofitable at your job?
Yeah.
I'm sure once or twice, maybe.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe once or twice. Preacher, not routinely. But obviously, Onesimus had the track record of maybe being unprofitable routinely. Now, I don't think any of us would say I've been unprofitable because you got fired. Amen. And obviously, something about Onesimus' life, he did not like being Philemon's slave. Now, was Philemon a tyrant? I don't know. I mean, he was a Christian, the Bible says. So, by the way, plug for Christian bosses. You ought to be the best boss in your job.
Amen.
Good Christians ought to make good bosses.
Yes, sir, Pastor Dawson.
Amen?
Amen.
Good Christians should make good bosses. So you should be the best one there. You should be the most fair, the most honest, the most integrity, the most upright, the one who has the smile, not the scowl.
Amen, Pastor.
Get to work.
Amen.
Bible says forbearing, threatening.
Yep.
When it comes to servants. We should be. Man, at my job, I mean, folks say, why are you always so happy? I said, because I'm saved. Well, they said they're saved. They're not happy. I said, well, you asked me. You didn't ask them. I tell you why I'm saved. Now, am I always ha, 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 ha? No.
No.
But I'm excited that I'm saved. And when I think about my Lord, it brings a joy to my heart. And so I don't have to come in here and be brooding. Now, I had my occasions of unprofitableness. Amen. But by and large, they knew me as a happy-go-lucky guy. He cuts it straight. He's fair across the board. He's going to give you the gospel. He's going to tell you about Jesus. They knew that.
Mm-hmm.
I told y'all the story. I had one of my Dutch colleagues sat down in the car with me. We were couriers. And driving down the road, he said, "All right, let me have it." I said, "Let you have what?" He said, "You know." I said, "I know what?" He said, "All the guys in the shop told me that when you get in the car, you're going to tell me about Jesus, so let me have it." I said, "Is that what they said?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I want to hear it." I thought, "Well, you asked for it, amen." I gave it to him. They knew that, amen.
Amen.
But notice what he says in verse 11 of Philemon, which in time past was to the unprofitable. All of us may have been that way. He says, but now profitable to thee and to me. Now, I will tell you, my wife can vouch for this. I got saved on a Sunday. Her and I both got saved February 3rd, 1991. I had a boss that I absolutely abhorred. I hated going to work. It was a chore to go to work. And then I got saved that Sunday. I had to go back to work and see her that Monday.
Oh, boy.
And I'm still excited from Sunday. I'm just going in there. And, "Oh, well, you're so happy. I got saved yesterday." Yeah, she kind of looked at me. What happened to you? I mean, I went around and told everybody. And guess what? She was still there.
Yeah.
But guess what? I wasn't there anymore. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
New creature.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things. A new Greg Dawson showed up at the job. I could tolerate her a little bit more. Now, I was still unprofitable at times with her. I can tell you that. I wasn't always profitable, but I can tell you what. The person that was on Friday died on Sunday. And on Monday, the new person came in. And I could deal with her a little bit better than I had before.
Amen.
Praise God. And so I had my issues where he says, which in time past was to the unprofitable. I would say that I was unprofitable. I had pilfered from the job. I had done some things that I knew I shouldn't do. But then I came back and guess what? The stuff that I pilfered, I started bringing all that stuff back. I was mad. I'm like, they're going to treat me this way. I'm going to get something out of this thing. And I started stealing from the job. I say, "Preacher, we're going to turn you in." Too late. I already turned myself in.
Amen.
I started bringing all the stuff back that I had took. Why? I was a new person. I was unprofitable. Then I became profitable. I began looking around. Oh, that belongs at the job. That belongs at the job. That belongs at the job. Only thing I didn't get back all of was those government pins. I think I may still have one or two in one of my pockets right now. Amen. But what happened? I became profitable. And so when you look at this, Onesimus was considered an unprofitable servant. The word unprofitable that Paul used to describe Onesimus as a servant to Philemon literally means worthless or useless. So he was worthless, Paul is saying. He was useless to you. He had been of no value to the household. Apparently he had been not reliable as a worker and had run away on top of that. And by the way, the penalty was death.
Oh, yeah.
Now, why would they have the penalty of death on a runaway slave? Ain't that kind of severe? Wouldn't that minimize your slave power?
Amen.
Why do you think they had the sentence of death on a runaway slave? Sir?
Nip it in the bud.
Make an example for any other future slave that think about running away. If you run away, buddy, your life is toast.
Mm-hmm.
I may be minus a slave, but I won't be minus 10.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so the price was death. It was not uncommon for slaves to run away. The empire had made it a capital offense for a slave to flee his master. The owner had the right to any recapture slave to put him to death if he so wanted or torture that poor person.
Wow.
By the way, we did the same thing in America.
Mm-hmm.
We did the same thing. It was the same as it was in the Roman Empire. We just brought that same mentality to America, and slaves were property. Ladies were property. Children were property.
Mm-hmm.
But wait a minute, if you read your Bible, you find that same practice in the Old Testament.
Yes, we do.
They said if they get a slave out there and bring him in and he have children, have a wife, the children and the wife have to stay there, but the slave can go free.
Mm-hmm.
Same practice, he just regulated it. Preacher, that's not fair. I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just telling you what God regulates. His goal is to change lives, not change laws.
Right.
And so Onesimus, despite the circumstances in Onesimus' life, God had a purpose and a plan for him, just like he does for you and just for me. Think about that Onesimus in your life that's unprofitable, or that situation in your life that you think is unprofitable, or that person that maybe looks at you as unprofitable. Maybe there's something you can do. Maybe you can show them that your life has changed, because that's what had to happen with Onesimus. Paul wrote a letter and said, "Here, take it back with you."
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait a minute. Going back means I could be killed. Going back means that I could get beat. I could get flogged. What if he doesn't respect Paul anymore? What if his views have changed toward Paul? What if he doesn't view Paul the same way Paul views him?
Exactly, Pastor.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. In Christ, all men are profitable and are of great value. When Onesimus became a Christian, everything changed in his life. So Onesimus was considered an unprofitable servant and then quickly be. Onesimus was saved but still suffering. Was not Job a righteous man and still suffering?
Yes, he was.
Was not Moses a righteous man and still suffering? Suffered a whole lot of years. Was not Noah a righteous man and still suffering? Yes. Was not Joseph a righteous man and still suffering? Yes. Was not David anointed to be king, a righteous young man and still suffering, although he had done nothing to King Saul? Yes. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den for praying. Many men of God were sawed in half. Onesimus was saved, but he's still suffering. Hey, folks, I got saved on Friday and came back on Monday. And guess what? My boss hadn't changed. She was still mean. She was still ornery. She was still a micromanager. She was still, give me some names, honey. No, stop. Amen. Now, she tried to go off with my wife as well. And my wife's not in military. I'm like, now you have just overstepped your bounds. Now, she doesn't even work for you. How dare you going to try and get on her? I got injured one time playing basketball at lunchtime, and she said she was going to give me an Article 15, sir, for injuring government property.
Oh, man.
Can you believe that?
I can't believe that.
Article 15 is a bad reprimand for your conduct. I'm out playing basketball getting exercise like military supposed to get. And I come back, she said, what happened? I said, I pulled a hamstring and I couldn't sit down. And I came back with one of those waivers and said he couldn't do this. And well, I should give you an Article 15 for hurting government property. I looked at her and I wanted to smack her. I wanted to smack her. But I thought then I'd be hobbling over here. I can't believe you said that. Then the new man said, now that's the old man. Remember, he died on Friday. Sunday. Amen. You're a new man, so don't put that thought out of your mind. Jesus suffered too. I said, but I'm not Jesus. Hey, it was tough. Onesimus was saved, but still suffering. But many people have done that. Go over to Philippians chapter 2. Because Onesimus had to go back with something in his mind, on his heart. Philippians chapter 2. God never promised you and I that we would be exempt from injustice as a Christian. Bad things do happen to good people. These TV preachers tell you, you know, if you've done something bad, you're like Job, you must be in sin. Philippians 2:12. Somebody read that for me. Who's there? Who's got that? Anybody? Is that Miss Dawson? Work out your own salvation. So now Onesimus was introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ by Paul. Mm-hmm. Onesimus has got to go back with this letter to Philemon, which we're reading right now. He was considered unprofitable, but now he's saved, but he's still suffering. And he's got to commit his life to Almighty God and say, Lord, you got to work this out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, you got to work this out in me. I don't know what's going to happen. I could get killed. Lord, I could be beat. Philemon could put me up as an example to everybody else and still keep me as a slave. He may cut off one of my toes, or he may cut off one of my feet so I can't run anymore. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen, but I got to commit myself to you.
Amen.
That's scary.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
I got saved Sunday after leaving work on Friday. I was bitter about my job. God saved me that Sunday. I came back on Monday and I said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know one thing that has happened. I'm saved.
Amen.
I know one thing that's happened. Jesus forgave me of my sin. I know one thing that's happened. Nobody can take that away from me. And so I'm going back into this job, and I don't know what's going to befall me. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I know one thing. I'm saved, and God is good, and God began to help me work out my own salvation.
Yes, sir.
And to the day that boss left, I tried to be kind to her, to be sweet to her, witnessed to her, and she told me this. She said, I'm too old to get saved. I'm beyond saving. I said, ma'am, I said, you're never too old to get saved. I said, you're not beyond saving. I said, if God saved me, he'll save you. Mm-hmm. And I know me.
Praise the Lord.
And he saved me. And I tried to win her to Christ. I really did.
Praise the Lord for that.
But Onesimus, he's got to go back now. Mm-hmm. See, folks, salvation doesn't solve all of our problems.
Right.
It didn't solve Onesimus' problem. He was still in prison. He still had unresolved issues. Philemon needed to be, the issue with Philemon needed to be settled. Mm-hmm. Injustice strikes the life of a Christian just as it does the life of an unbeliever. But we have to trust the Lord to work it out. Philemon knew not what was going to happen in his life. If he remained bitter at Philemon mm-hmm. for owning him, or if Philemon had remained bitter at Onesimus from running away, the relationship would never have solidified to what it did. And so Philemon had to have a place in his heart as a saved Christian. Onesimus had to have a place in his heart to trust God. Mm-hmm. Paul had to have a place in his heart to send Onesimus back, trusting that he was going to do the right thing. Everybody had to trust the Lord. What am I saying?
Right.
You and I got to trust the Lord.
Yep, sir, we do.
Injustice is going to happen. It's going to happen. You may be Onesimus. Mm-hmm. You may be Philemon. You may be Paul. Paul was in prison still. You don't hear him complaining. No. Onesimus has got to go back to a boss and be in slavery. Mm-hmm. He's not complaining. Philemon's got a runaway slave. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't know all the ins and outs of that, but right. We do know Onesimus shows up several times in the New Testament as a profitable person. I would say this. Each of these guys had a responsibility to do right towards God and not worry about what the other's doing. Philippians says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yep.
You don't know what injustice awaits you this week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what injustice awaits me this week.
Amen, Pastor.
But I do know this. God is working on me.
Mm-hmm.
And Romans 8:28 is true. And you may have to go back to that mean old boss like I did tomorrow.
Amen.
You may have to go back to those mean children at the school. You may have to go back to that community or whatever,
there
that situation. And there's a whole bunch of mean folk there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about the mean folk. Worry about the master.
Amen.
And say, Lord, let me be what you want me to be.
Yeah.
Work out your own salvation. I want us to memorize that verse for next week, Philippians 2:12. What do we see here? The reality of injustice is going to happen. Onesimus was considered an unprofitable servant. Sometimes so have we. But Onesimus was saved but still suffering, and we may be the same way. We've got to trust God to work out our salvation. And we've got to be working it out through the circumstances and the situations God
Amen.
Puts us in. Do we like them all the time? No.
No, we don't.
I didn't like going back to work, but I tell you what, I was excited about telling what happened on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be too.
Amen.
Father, bless now this morning. Help us to understand injustice is real.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, help us if we're an Onesimus and considered unprofitable to be profitable. Help us if we're a Philemon, we have an injustice to us to see what Romans 8:28 is doing in our lives. Lord, we could be saved but still suffering. Help us, Lord, to allow you to work in us that which you have said you would. Working out our salvation for the glory of God. Bless now the refreshments next door. Thank you for loving us. Meet our need today in Jesus' name. Amen.